I mean, even though these five collectively are specific to Scrum, they aren't purely applied to just the Scrum framework. I mean, I think interesting thing about values is some of them, in fact, a lot of them, people do model unconsciously just because of who they are. You know, Greg, we've never met face to face, but I respect you as a practitioner. That's a value I believe I have. But the thing with Scrum is that these values are the basis of successful interactions, because all five of them, when they come together and, you know, bring those pillars to life and then allow that trust to build, it's about the collection of values rather than just having one or two. And it's fascinating how people can kind of move towards, you kind of want to, I start with teams wanting to get them to a conscious point of how they live their values, with a goal long term of these values becoming unconscious. I think in order to move people together with values, it needs to be a conscious effort. I don't think improving values can be an unconscious thing. I think you have to actively improve.
Welcome to the podcast that challenges you from the inside. Come be more and discover the agile within. And now here's your host, Greg Miller.
Welcome back to episode 3 of Scrum Lake. Continuing with us is the founders of Scrum Lake, John Albrecht, Ryan Brook. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having us back.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. So, If you've been following us along for the first two episodes, you know we've been traveling along with John and Ryan on their Scrum Lake. Started off with who they are, the whole purpose of it, where it came from. Second episode, we dove in to a little bit more around the structure. And the third episode here, we'll wrap it up with impacts, and we'll have some discussions around the lake, mainly around the values and why those are so important, why you need to care about the values. The process is one thing, but the values and principles, you know, the Agile Manifesto, are so much important as well. So I hope you're getting a lot of value out of this as much as I am. So let's kick it off, John and Ryan, and let's dive into the Scrum values here, go a little bit deeper into the lake.
So yeah, for us, the values are the bedrock for us, aren't they, John? They're the thing that Scrum Lake is built on, and successful Scrum is built on, right?
Yeah. It's the thing that you can't really see. It's the thing that's right at the bottom, and it's the thing that when you're doing surface level Scrum, that's what we call right at the top, you're not even aware of. You're just following a process. But the only reason Scrum works is the bedrock of the lake, and those values. It's absolutely key.
I think it's because values are so human. Like you say, they're the thing beneath the surface. You can follow a process, but actually, because Scrum is fundamentally all about people and how people interact, without that basis of how those interactions should go, or at least a guide, I wouldn't say the basis, it's really hard to have successful interactions and kind of deliver or use Scrum in a really successful way. I think that's what it feels like to me when I work with teams.
Yeah. So if I'm in a waterfall environment and I'm being asked to switch over to Scrum, and I got this new process, and okay, I follow the process. Why do I care about value. So we have commitment, courage, focus, openness, and respect is at the bedrock of Scrum. Why is that important to me? Why do I care about commitment, for example? Is I don't need. I'm just following a process. I'm getting the work done. Yeah, right?
You don't care. You come from a waterfall process. You literally don't care about those values at all. And that place, the top of our lake, where you've got turbulent events, or you're digging yourself into a hole because you're just following a process. It doesn't have that human aspect, and you don't even have the awareness, really. Well, actually, maybe you do. That's a bit unfair. Different folks have different things, and they know different ways of working. And someone from a more traditional background probably has a real good understanding of how teams work and probably live those values. But if you're just looking at it from a process point of view, then yeah, it doesn't really enter your mind. It's just the process. It's about following those steps. It's not human. I think the challenge comes on how you move to that position. How does someone discover their own values and discover the values of Scrum, and how the pillars of empiricism come to life through living those values? And how do you go on that journey? I think that's the interesting thing, because I don't think it's a clear journey. It's not something that's easily traveled.
I think the values as well are, because they're not these, I mean, even though these five collectively are specific to Scrum, they aren't purely applied to just the Scrum framework. I mean, I think interesting thing about values is some of them, in fact, a lot of them, people do model unconsciously just because of who they are. You know, Greg, we've never met face to face, but I respect you as a practitioner. That's a value I believe I have. But the thing with Scrum is that these values are the basis of successful interactions, because all five of them, when they come together and, you know, bring those pillars to life and then allow that trust to build, it's about the collection of values rather than just having one or two. And it's fascinating how people can kind of move towards, I start with teams wanting to get them to a conscious point of how they live their values, with a goal long term of these values becoming unconscious. I think in order to move people together with values, it needs to be a conscious effort. I don't think improving values can be an unconscious thing. I think you have to actively improve them.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to take a waterfall mindset here. I'm like, okay, I hear all this, right? I hear you guys saying this. Okay, I bought into the process, right? I'm thinking about, you know, I've heard this Scrum like thing. It sounds interesting. I'm into Scrum, but we're delivering, you know, I'm delivering the product. I'm delivering the project, right? Project mind. I'm delivering the work. We're just following Scrum. Okay, now we're just doing a stand up, and I'm just doing, you know, you're asking me to do a retro and think about inspection, but you know, I'm still delivering work. It's just a process. Why do I need to be open and transparent with my teammates? I'm just you know, I'm working in my silo. I'm doing my work, and I hand it off to a QA. So if I come to Scrum, like, what am I going to experience? You know, why do I? You know, what are you going to try to teach me about these values and transparency and adaptation? What can I look forward to? Why do I care?
I think the first thing I'm going to address is that you said, what are we going to teach you? And the answer is very little. We're not going to teach you. I don't think values can be taught in a didactic, one-way, single unidirectional flow. What you can expect from Scrum Lake is a collaborative exploration of what these values mean to people. Would that be fair, John?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. This isn't about teaching. I think it is, but it is and it isn't. It's like self-teaching. It's self-discovery. Values are embodied. People embody values. People live values. People have their own values. You say, let's carry on with this scenario where you say that you're just doing the process. It's following the process. It's mechanical. We do the steps. But you will have values. I hear commitment in that character. You are committed to achieving those things. So that is strong for you. But by exploring those values with other people, by breaking down what commitment means for you and what it doesn't mean for you, And I sense courage in there as well, what courage means for you, and also focus. And then what that means for other people around you. You kind of, there comes an overlap, and then you start to discover, well, maybe there's a bit more to it. There's a bit more to just than those things. Or what does openness mean? But yeah, it's not taught, and that's the challenge. I know in the previous podcast, we talked about teaching and learning Scrum, going on courses and doing all this, reading. It's all awesome. It's all really, really cool. And it really, really does help. But it's that whole sort of dichotomy. If you're going on a number of day training and then you're a Scrum Master, you can do it. It's a bit deeper than that. It's by doing it, it's almost empirical. It's knowledge and experience, and it builds with time. But yeah, what you'd expect from Scrum Lake is just uncovering what your values are a little bit, and the values of the people around you, and what that means for you, and scenarios of when those values have come to the surface.
I think what's powerful is that values can easily be seen as just an individual thing. But actually, what Scrum Lake will do, like you said, Greg, that, you know, you might come to the Lake, why do I care? What, you know, why do I care about commitment? Why do I care about courage? It's the I in that sentence that potentially is the issue with the values. Actually, it's we. The powerful thing about values in Scrum is that they are lived by the team. Yes, you live them individually as well. But I like to think of them as team respect, team openness, team focus, because it gets you thinking outside of your shell and thinking as a protective, as a collective team. And when you move through and you embody those values collectively, I think that's when they really start to make a difference. If one person is amazing at all these five values, it doesn't mean squat if the other five people don't. It's about baselining together.
Yeah. Thanks for playing along there. So yeah, I'll get out of my
I'd like to stay in a little bit longer. When you in your scenario, you said, why do I care about mm-hmm. the values? And I pointed out, well, I detect that you've got commitment, courage, focus. Looking at the lake and just looking at our metaphors, from hearing that scenario, why do I care about values?
Mm-hmm.
I don't sense openness. I detect closedness to things, and that's okay. So there's some reservation to values. There's some reservation to knowing that. And I also detect kind of, it's almost contempt over curiosity. So you're not sure. Open, but there's a contempt. So there's a lack of respect to it. Like I don't respect what you're doing here. That's not something, that's not my bag. So in CC4, it's the or at the end, which you're in your words, you're saying that you're not really open to this, and you don't really respect it, which is why you can't, and just hearing you speak, that's why you can't teach values. Because you're not up for that in your current mindset. Your mental model currently is it's about the process, it's about following the steps, and it's those three values. The other two I don't necessarily see eye to eye with. And I can't teach you that. You have to. Maybe you're okay as you are. You don't need that. But I'm offering to be here to sort of explore if you want to explore, and we can explore this together with a group of Scrum Masters. But if you don't want to, that's fine as well. I'm not here to teach you and sort of force you to be open and force you to be respectful, because that's not me being open to how you are, and that's not me being respectful of you in your position as you are, which I think is why it's very tricky to teach values. It's impossible to teach values.
Oh, I'll tackle that very final thing about impossible to teach, because teaching doesn't always have to be direct. I think there's a really great learning theory by a guy called Lev Vygotsky, and it's about zones of proximal development. And if you want someone to grow in something, and if you want them to improve, you sit them next to someone, or you sit them in an area next to someone who models that value or has that knowledge. So there's both a passive gain and also an active gain when you engage with that person. So, for example, if John had amazing respect and I didn't, and let's say a scrum master said, you know what, why don't you guys work together? You start to pick up, you mirror behavior. It's really common. I've been working with John now for 8 months, and I never used the word folks before, but I mirror language, I mirror actions, because when you spend time with people, you do pick up values. And through working together, I think it's just a great way that these things evolve. That's what Scrum Lake does. Over a period of sessions, we have the same people coming back time and time again. I start to feel like I could work with people, I understand their values, and that's what I love.
Yeah, that's what keeps me coming back. I really enjoyed the discussion. So if someone's listening, they've never been to Scrum Lake before, to this episode here, and what can they so they can expect to talk with people with wide variety of backgrounds from all over the world, right? And sharing different ideas, is that correct?
Absolutely. So we've had people from as far as Australia, we've had people from the Nordics, a lot of people from the States, Europeans. Yeah, we should have really kept a map, John, just tick people off when they attend. From see how long it takes.
I think we've had, I'm not sure we had anyone from South America yet, but we've definitely had people from the Middle East as well, and India. So yeah, it's been a really global affair. But yeah, it's what you expect is to work with Scrum Masters, share stories, pick apart the Scrum Guide, and break down things that you didn't think were breakdownable. So such as the values, what does commitment mean to you? What does courage mean to you? What's it like? What erodes it? What grows it? And just sort of hearing other people and sort of when they've used those things and when they didn't use those things and the effects that that has had on the organizations and the teams and the people and themselves, really. I like Scrum values. I like values. I like deeper work. How do I put it? It's tricky to do it because people, again, you can't force it. You've got to invite it. And it's really difficult to explain on a podcast as well. Yeah. I think you just have to do it and explore it with some other people.
So in order to help that, one of the things that John and I do, I know we've spoken about metaphors in the past. We talk about common languages in Scrum a lot, but actually when we've got these people from all around the world, when we talk about stories, sometimes stories with very specific examples don't relate for cultural reasons, but actually some of the metaphors we use, like that flag, that commitment that we stamp into the ground, we all look at it, we can see it, it's worn, it's so big that multiple people have to carry it. What we're doing there is everyone can relate to that example, but we might not be able to relate to very specifics of people's circumstances. And that's what I love. We can get people on the same page quickly so that we can talk deeply about some concepts, and it's really cool.
Okay. Commitment's an interesting one. Can we talk about commitment?
Do you want it? Yeah. Yeah, let's do that.
So for us, commitment's like a huge flag. It's a massive, and that's me and Ryan, yeah? It's like a massive flag that you can't hold on your own, and you put it in the ground. And it's almost like an embodied thing. You put it in the ground as a team, and you put your flag in it, and that's what you're going to do. That's the goal. You're committing to the goal. You're committing to each other. You're committing to learn. You're committing to be professional, to self-organize. You're committing to a definition of that. You're committing to so many things. But you can't really commit on your own. You're committing on your own as well, but you're committing as a team. But for you, what's commitment like for you, Greg? What's commitment like?
Yeah. So let me think here. What is commitment like for me? In a metaphor, yes. Commitment is like let me think here. caught me off guard. What is commitment?
While Greg's thinking, just for the listeners, let's throw it out. Have a think. While Greg's thinking, what's commitment like for you? Let's give you a pause. Have a think.
Yeah, think with me. What is commitment like in a metaphor?
And Ryan, beyond the flag, what's commitment like for you?
Beyond the flag, commitment is... it's power. Commitment is power. It's a way of demonstration. It's a way of saying we should be respected. And it's a way of saying, you know what? We make these commitments, we honor our commitments, and therefore you can trust us. You can expect things from us. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. So if I would say commitment, I mean, tell me if I'm off, but thinking, so if I'm committed, I'm fully in, it would be kind of like maybe jumping off a diving board, maybe a high diving board, like, you know, I'm jumping off a diving board into a pool. Maybe I'm a little nervous, I'm a little scared. But once I leave that diving board, there's no going back, right? I'm only going one way.
So you're like, for you, commitment's like a diving board. You're a little scared, but you're only going one way.
I'm jumping in. Yes.
Okay. Cool. Okay. And I'm interested in the listeners. And you can, if you've got what your commitment is like Greg's is like it's a diving board, and he's jumping off, and he's a little scared. So write that word on a post-it. You know, what's the metaphor like? And then Greg. It feels like I'm just doing this one-on-one, but and Greg, for commitment to be like you are jumping off a diving board and you're a little scared, you'll need to be like what?
I will need to be like...
And again, if you're listening, yeah, have a think and write down what you think it is. But I'm going to ask Ryan. So... for you, commitment's like the power.
Yeah.
And for that commitment to be like the power, you'll need to be like what?
I think I need to believe in myself to be able to wield the power. I'm thinking of things like a superhero. Like,
okay. You
know, they always have that bit in Marvel films where they, I don't know if I can talk about that copyright reasons, but hey ho.
Sure.
Yeah. In a Marvel film, they always have that bit of self-doubt. They always have that thing. Am I worthy to be, you know, pick your favorite Marvel superhero. Am I worthy to wield Thor's hammer? There you go. There's a great metaphor.
Yeah, that is great.
And, you know, am I worthy to carry it? And I think that's really important that you consider that, but equally go, you know what? I am committed. I have the power. I respect myself. And that's how I will need to be to wield this power to demonstrate my commitment. What about for you, Greg? So John asked you.
I like that. That got me thinking. Yeah. Cause I mean, first I was saying a lion, but a lion can't go into water. I don't think, but I'd have to have, it would have to have like the courage of the lion. But I liked your metaphor, Ryan, of a superhero. I think I would have to be, what maybe if I'm going into water, maybe like Aquaman or something like that. I don't know, not afraid of the water, I guess.
So I'm gonna ask the same question. So for commitment to be like that sort of you're diving in off a diving board, and you're a bit kind of a bit there. You'd need to be like what, Greg? What would you need to be like? You're saying Aquaman, or is it something else?
Well, like a superhero. I liked Ryan's metaphor there, like some type of superhero. I'll have to be like, yes, to have the courage is kind of what I said. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. So again, if you've written that on a post-it note, what would you need to be like? Have a think and write that down as well. So we've got superheroes. We're wielding kind of Thor's hammer. And there's that self-doubt and we're getting through it and the courage and all of that jazz.
Can I add something to my what I'll need to be like, John? I'm a superhero, and I mentioned Marvel, but I think in order to feel powerful enough to wield my commitment, I need to be part of a team.
Yeah.
The superhero, they work in a team in Marvel. You know, they all have their strengths, they all have their weaknesses, but they commit to a common goal. And I think that's what I also need. I can't just be one strong guy. I need to be backed up or working with equally with a team.
Good point. Yes. Yes. You don't want to be like Batman necessarily, right? Batman's a loner, right?
No.
I've worked with a few Batmans.
Sure. I like that too, Ryan. You would have to be like a team. Yes, you would have to be on a team.
It's almost like we've planned this, and we truly haven't for anyone listening.
No, we haven't. I like Ryan's ideas. I do. It's as I think through it. Yes, I would definitely have to be. Yeah, I think if I'm committed, I'm standing on that diving board. It's pretty high up. Maybe I'm just thinking back, like childhood. It's my first time, there's a line of people behind me. I'm standing there, and once I jump. I'm all the way in. I'm fully committed. Mm-hmm. I have to have courage like a lion, but I have to be like a superhero too. Because I said lions can't jump into water. Cats don't like water, but,
and you've got the people in that queue behind you cheering you on, Greg.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
I like how Ryan is not doing it alone. There's a team. So he's mm-hmm. not on his own, and it's that courage, but it's with a group of other people, which is playing another question. So for that commitment to be really useful and for you to be like that diver diving off the diving board, and for not having that self-doubt and worry, what support do you need?
Yeah. From my team, from others. If I'm on a diving board, I'm a dad now. And if my son is out there, he's like, "Dad, watch me jump off the diving board." So I'm like, you guys said earlier, I'm standing there watching, his mom's watching. People are cheering you on if it's your first time, right? Like you said. So I would need support from other people.
Mm.
Definitely. Yes. Right.
That's really interesting. Because you mentioned it the first time. If you did that again, Greg, if your son mm-hmm. jumped off it for the second time, would he be more confident to be able to do that?
Yes.
Yeah. So his commitment evolves. His ability to jump off the diving board changes over time. He may choose to make a higher commitment next time. He may jump off the mm-hmm. 10 instead of the 5.
Right.
I think I'm spotting a link into empiricism here as well. So transparency, inspection, adaption. So that mm-hmm. commitment's tangible link into empiricism, because by doing it again, knowledge and experience is growing. And mm-hmm. you're going through that OOD loop. So the commitment has a very strong link as to all of the values into that. But if we'd done this with a load of people, we're like 7 or 8 people, we could have explored this. We'd have explored it even in many more facets. And I think that's an explanation why you can't really teach. So you will be more committed.
Right.
You can say, yes, you can teach Ryan. Yes, but it doesn't work like that. It's deeper. It's about humanity. And then the other thing that I find interesting is sort of that commitment and that diving board, what are roads and sort of that superhero and being that, what are roads that commitment? What are the things that erode commitment? What eats away at it?
Yeah. So if I'm committed to jumping into the diving board, what would erode at it? I've done it before, or there's other things I want to do now. Maybe I'm less committed to jumping off the diving board because I've done it enough times. I've inspected, like you said, I got more confidence and I want to move on to something else, or I have other things that I want to do. Would erode my commitment to jumping off the diving board more often. It gets, it gets old over time, right? You get used to it. You get used to it. You have courage. You've done it. Yeah. Okay. I did that. Been there, done that. But I have other things I want to do now.
So for me, if I was riffing off Greg's idea, things that would erode my commitment were maybe if the water got got really dirty, really murky. I didn't know what I was jumping into. The situation has changed. So if the product became unstable, or the market was unknown, or the resourcing on the team had changed, that would erode my ability to commit. But I like Greg's idea. You know, sometimes we get bored with things. Sometimes we need to, what's the point of doing the same thing 10 times over? You need to change. You need to evolve. You need to improve.
I think another thing that erodes that commitment off the back of those things is that teamwork as well. And when you're on your own, you are less able to commit to things, which is weird, because traditionally I would think commitment would be, I've committed to doing this. But sort of using that metaphor, I'm less likely to commit to things when I'm on my own, if that makes sense. It's nice to have a team around me. It's nice to commit with other people. I can commit individually, but I can commit as a team. But not having that team, having maybe a team of too small a size, or maybe too big a size, I'm not going to commit to those things. So I think the team size plays a part of this as well.
Sure. Yeah. And this, so I just want to what we're doing here for everybody listening, what we're doing here is this is the part that really draws me back to Scrum Lake over and over again. I've been maybe 3 or 4 times. And this is the part where the questions that John asked and the conversation Ryan had in the connecting the commitment back to the empiricism that really helps. It really helped me. To be candid, before this, I never really draw a line between the values and back to inspection, adaption, and transparency. And this helps me with it. So for anybody thinking about going to it, don't be afraid of this. It's really helpful. There's lots of people there. There's usually a dozen or so people there. They do breakout rooms. And you go into it, you go wherever you want to, right? It's not John and Ryan saying we're going to commitment, right? You guys vote on this, right?
That's right. It's whatever you guys want to do when you attend. We said it before, we are active participants as well. You know, we have things to bring and we want to learn from you too. It's enjoyable for us.
Yeah, definitely. So anything else around that? Guys, around that. That was a good exercise. I liked that a little bit, what folks can experience there.
So yeah, we do a bit more around that, and that we've other questions, and these activities are on a canvas, and we have our metaphors and we have the links, and with a group of like 7 or 8 people, we break them down, we put on post-its, we talk to those, we explore them, we summarize them, we move on, we explore other questions, we pose questions and have conversations with each other, and people even throw little photos and things onto the canvas. And then off the back of that, that might cause something to come up for someone. For example, it might bring up the pillars, or it might bring up coverage that came up in here. It might bring up self-management, and then we jump to a different part of the lake and how the lake is structured. So we jump where people want to go, but how the lake is structured, we have that bedrock, which are those 5 values, CC4, and then cradled within that we have Scrum theory, which is founded on empiricism and lean thinking. It employs, engages, and combines are the words within the new Scrum guide, which I love. Yeah, it's founded on empiricism and lean thinking, and this is right in the heart of the sort of those the sedimentary layers. It employs iterative incremental approach to optimize, predict, and control risk. It engages groups of people who have all the skills and experience to do the work, or they acquire the skills. And then finally, it combines those 4 formal events for inspection and adaption within the containing event. So that's the stuff at the top of the lake. But that heart, it's almost shaped like a heart in our lake.
It is, yeah.
It's kind of right in the middle, and it's cradled by the values, by living and embodying those values. Those 3 pillars come to life, and that Scrum theory is sort of, it's alive. You can see it going round and round in circles. And then the trust builds. And then on the top of that, you've got everything that everyone else knows about Scrum, which is the 3-5-3, which we're not really talking about at this point.
Right.
This is on LinkedIn last week. Or being agile, doing agile.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of which is more important? Back in the day, am I principle led or practice led? And I was always principle led. That's the kind of thing. But I think it's not one or the other. The magical point is the embodiment of this stuff and living and being it and doing it as well. It's the combination of the two and Scrum's magical ability, because it models the two things in unison. It's just a shame that the stuff at the bottom of the lake, the bedrock, is so often ignored, because it's, again, back to that point, it's not teachable in a traditional way, or it's harder to teach in a traditional way. You have to do exercises, and it's something that takes time. It's something that grows, and it's something you build on with time by working with teams. But we think that Scrum Lake is a way of sort of exploring these concepts with other Scrum Masters from around the world. And that's the benefit that we've seen. That's the benefit Scrum Masters have told us, that they didn't realize, they hadn't seen that these values. They didn't, I think, yeah, workshops where Scrum Masters are saying, but I don't know, I really can't have the courage to talk to my product owner. My product owner has a management sort of authority over me. And it's not what it is. It's just about following the process. And well, why couldn't you? And how? What would need to happen? What would need to happen for you to, or for folks to have courage to have that conversation and say what you think needs to be said? Because that's where the true value of Scrum comes, when you've got the doing and the being in unison, and you're on
right
seabed of the lake, and there's lots of green growing plants, and it's clear water, and it's glorious. And you're delivering value, you're finding all these treasure chests, and you've got a deep lake, and it's really, really nice and lovely, and you're doing good Scrum. And it looks magical from the outside. Everyone's in a really amazing place. Your technical practices are all there. Your customers are all happy. You're delivering value. Your team's all happy. And it's like a happy buzz. And you can hear it when you're in the office. You can hear the buzz of the team. And you can hear the buzz of the stakeholders, and the stakeholder, everyone's happy. It's just glorious. But so many teams are so far away from that place. And again, this is one of the reasons why we've created Scrum Lake, to help folks discover what they don't know, what they can't see, or what they're not aware of. Like back to the story of the folk, your chap who had a traditional background. It's all about process.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't aware. He isn't aware.
Do you think it would be worth, John? I know we talk about Scrum Lake values being for Scrum Masters and a safe place for Scrum Masters to talk. Greg and John, do you think that it would be worth getting teams to explore the values together? So, you know, you take a team from an organization and run through Scrum Lake. Mm. So developers, product owner, and Scrum Master. I see huge value in that as a potential.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Totally, 100%. Yeah. Again, we talked before we started recording that in my experience, and I think, Ryan, you agreed with me, I don't even know that they're, it's been a while since I went through the PSM class, but they don't really talk much. Maybe they talk about empiricism. Yes, definitely empiricism, inspection, transparency, adaptation, but the other values, and I don't even know that they were in the Scrum guide back then. But for sure, I would love to take a team I have now through just this part of it, for sure.
Well, reach out with Greg. I'm sure John and I would be happy to work with your team.
Okay.
Then take riffing on that question then. If a team was working on it, a self-contained team, would an external facilitator assist, or actually would it be better if the team dove and explored themselves? What do we think?
I think it depends on the team. Like if I'm thinking of my team, if you're asking me about my current team, probably a little bit of facilitator. They would need a facilitator to guide them. because they wouldn't know what to talk. I think it depends on the maturity of the team. So my team is fairly new. I would say it would need a facilitator to take them through this.
So back to your earlier question, would it be valuable to take a team through the values? I agree. I think it is valuable. But again, it's back to that teaching and inviting it and not forcing it.
I think,
so working with clients, I've identified where it'd be really nice to work with leadership, or it'd be really nice to work with product owners, or it'd be really nice to work with teams on these values. But you don't just jump straight in. I've done retrospective on values. I've done work on using Scrum Lake on values. And I think if you go too fast, too deep, too soon, you're not at a mature, you're not, mature is the wrong word, but it is as well. A team isn't open, and your scenario, commitment, courage, maybe, focus, maybe, openness, not really, respect, not really. But that's the beauty of the lake, because you come to Scrum Lake, and then the group basically dot vote where they want to go, and a group won't dot vote if they're new. They won't dot vote the values or the theory. They won't do it. And again, that plays a bit to your question. I think PSM have had values, and the Scrum Guides had values in for a long time. And I think the trainers are doing an awesome job, and I think they do facilitated activities on values. But the human brain is magical in the way it sort of absorbs only the things that it fits its own mental model. You can't, again, it's back to the, you can't teach values in a traditional way. But if you take a team to values, nothing will stick, because that person doesn't want to explore that thing. But Scrum Lake isn't organized that way. Scrum Lake's a lake. I like one of those books from our youth where you open it, go to page 10, go to page 15. The team vote where they want to go. They will go somewhere else. Then they discover the values as part of that other journey. And in the next workshop, they go to another part, and these values come up again a little bit off to the side. And the next one, they go, well, let's go down to the values. And then they dive down to the values. They dive down when they've got the diving experience, when they've got an understanding of the process. You kind of do, and it's how a team works with Scrum. You can jump in with values straight away, or you can do working agreements. You can do all of these things. But I think the value comes from doing the process of Scrum 3-5-3, the shallow Scrum. You then sort of get a bit deeper. Then you embody the values and you understand the theory of what you're doing. And then you're doing deeper Scrum, and then it grows and grows, and then it then accelerates, and then it becomes what it can be. But again, most teams don't even get beneath the choppy surface. They've got this really choppy surface, no bedrock, and it's really muddy, and they can never get down to the bottom because they're not even following a simple process of what Scrum is. So they can't get beneath a couple of feet beneath the surface.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you're right. If you dove straight down, no, I agree with that now. Yeah, if you said, we're just going to do a class on just the values. Yeah, people, it probably would turn people off pretty quickly, right? I was thinking the metaphor here as you were talking with the lake. So it's kind of like if you dive down too fast?
Yeah.
Or see, if you come up too fast, you get the bends, right?
Exactly.
If you go down too fast, too quickly and come up, you'll get the bends. So you want to take it slow, right?
Yeah, in our model of Scrum, Scrum's a lake, and trust is oxygen. It's the oxygen bubbles, and then the Scrum team is a submarine. It's a yellow submarine because it's clearly a yellow submarine, and the Scrum team members fit within that. And the yellow submarine has oxygen inside of it. Yeah, but as you dive deeper, you're diving more individually, but you're diving together, and you're exploring further, and your oxygen's growing. The trust is growing. Your trust in each other's growing. When you're diving, you need to have trust in the people you're diving with. And then when you dive down further down, you then are in a really good place to explore those values and to explore empiricism and lean thinking. And again, this is what I do with teams when I'm working with teams. You do the shallow stuff. You follow a process. You get deeper and deeper, and then into the retrospectives, into the knowledge and experience. You bring things into retrospectives. You theme values in. You theme in the five dysfunctions of team. You mm-hmm. bring in some stuff on empiricism. You bring in some stuff on lean thinking, waste, Moody and Moore. You bring stuff around incremental and iterative. You bring in some stuff around, yeah, it's just the growth of teams and kind of learning organizations and how all of this connects and combines with each other. And it's an overall system.
So very much like Scrum, if the lake is like Scrum, and with Scrum, if you aren't doing everything, then you aren't doing Scrum. Very much like the lake has value as a whole system, rather than if you take one piece out, sure, it might give you something, but it doesn't give you everything.
Right. Yeah, completely, totally. Well, yeah, this has been great, guys. Yeah, I appreciate this deep dive. Anything else we can offer up to anybody there? To our listeners?
I mean, I guess one thing we'd say, John, I mean, we've made the images available now, haven't we?
Yeah, they are. We need to figure out how we're going to make them fully accessible. You might put them out on our website, but yeah, get in contact with myself and or Vian, and we can sort of, you can provide images if you're wanting to explore some of these metaphors with team outside of our workshops.
Great. And what's your, can you tell if people haven't heard the first two episodes, what are your email addresses again? They can get a hold of you there.
It's either john@scrumlake.com or ryan@scrumlake.com. But yeah, we might put them on the website as sort of a something public for people to download. But again, the value is back to that training teaching thing. The value comes from working with other Scrum Masters around this stuff. There's value in working with your team as well. And I think it's back to Ryan's question, what's more valuable? Is it working with other people in a safe place where you can explore some of these concepts? Maybe as a Scrum Master, you haven't dived down to the values. Maybe you've not explored the theory, and maybe you've not explored them with other people in a group. Do you want to jump straight into doing that straight with teams, or do you want to do that with some friendly faces from all over the world before you take it to teams? It's up to you, but yeah, drop us a message and we'll provide you with some kind of resources to help you do that with teams if that's what you want to do first. But yeah, or come and join us in one of our workshops.
Great.
Sorry, I was going to say, I guess the other thing is that if you would like us to help you lead a workshop with your teams, John and I, I'm sure would be happy to work with you to help.
Yeah, definitely.
Of course. Yeah, and just a reminder, check the site, scrumlake.com, for upcoming sessions of Scrum Lake. I believe you guys try to have them once or twice a month, correct? Every other week, or just as demand is there?
Yeah.
I think it's both. Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, so thanks, guys. John, Ryan, thank you very much for joining us. This will wrap up our three-part series on Scrum Lake. So hope everyone's enjoyed it as much as I have. I thoroughly enjoy this. So looking forward to seeing everyone at Scrum Lake. Once again, please email me, GregMiller@theagilewithin.com. And don't forget our contest. Please email me for the contest to win tickets to Scrum Lake. We're going to be giving away some tickets to Scrum Lake here, so you can attend that on me. So reach out to me on Facebook, LinkedIn, particularly, also on Twitter. Love to hear from you. Comments, questions, suggestions. Like to interact with everyone. And also, please, if you're so inclined, reach out to me on Patreon. If you want to support the show on a monthly